in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Today's readings are about good shepherding. It is Good Shepherd Sunday. Yesterday, we had many shepherds on our beautiful campus, but no sheep. Shepherds spending hours replanting the Walker Memorial Garden, that median in the middle of the lower parking lot. Our shepherds were digging and planting and mulching and watering, but no sheep. I was working in my office yesterday and would wander down to the lower parking lot because that's where the action was. And I would say hi and thank you. And once in a while, I would say, look busy, Jesus is coming. In every one of my wanderings, I was asked if I'd finished my sermon yet. And I would say no, because I was here doing all kinds of things. But sometimes I would say, did I ever tell you that my grandfather was a shepherd in Croatia? And some of the shepherds, our parishioners, would say, yes, you already have. And a few others who are new to our parish would say, no, you haven't. Well, my grandfather was a shepherd in Croatia. He was a good shepherd of a very small flock of sheep. His dad had pulled him out of school in the third grade and gave him a flock. And that was going to be his life, a shepherd of sheep. Except at the age of 18, he decided he wanted to shepherd in more ways than shepherding sheep. And he left Croatia and immigrated to America. So today's readings are an invitation to good shepherding. At St. Francis, we have many amazing good shepherds. Today's psalm, which we sang after the first reading, is probably the most famous psalm in the Old Testament. It is a psalm of confidence. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along pathways for his namesake. And those are only the first three verses of this psalm, this comforting psalm. Each phrase, each verse is an opportunity for a graced encounter with God. These phrases, this psalm describes a mystery. God, the shepherd. God, caring, compassionate, who wants abundant life for everyone. Who wants each of us to experience refreshment and peace in the midst of chaos, challenges, compromising moments, in the midst of remembering painful memories, of being concerned about the present or wondering about the future. God wants peace for all of us, even in times when we are troubled. In this gospel, however, there is another metaphor, a gate. Jesus says, I am the gate. There wasn't a need for anything else but his voice, the voice that the sheep knew. And these were discerning sheep. They were not dumb. they were smart to remember the nuances of his voice. The sheepfold was open to everyone. Do you realize that on our campus, we have no gates? It is a completely open campus, so much so that on any given day, someone arrives with camera in tow and poses their subjects against our beautiful windows or by the side of the chapel or going up the steps by the chapel to the street or in front of the beautiful old bricks. So once upon a time, several years ago, our vestry wondered if we should put up signs, private property, or a sign that said, "Wouldn't it be nice if you gave us a donation?" But it was agreed upon definitively, no signs. We welcome everyone, anytime, and in any place. So on our campus with no gates, open to any sheep or people that might wander in and out, we say, welcome. And I hope they hear in our voices good shepherding, a welcoming voice of acceptance and hospitality. I hope that we anticipate opportunities for shepherding and appreciate the good shepherding among us. All the lay leaders on our ministry council that are called shepherds. But you do not need a title for good shepherding. In this gospel, Jesus, as the good shepherd, reminds all of us to listen carefully and simply to that inner voice. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the power, inspiring us, nudging us, using us, inviting us to share God's saving work in the world, welcoming anyone, everyone to God's abundant life. Shepherding can be done in the simplest of ways. I read an article in the Los Angeles Times recently that inspired me with how others can be blessed by simple acts of thoughtful caring. We all know that Skid Row is lined with homeless people living in tents and makeshift shelters. And around the corner of Skid Row on Main Street is a little tiny cafe called the Nickel Diner. Monica May is the chef and co-owner, a young woman who believes her revolution is to feed people who do not have access to healthy food. So when anyone comes into her diner, there is homemade strawberry jam sitting on every table. Every week, she buys 40 pounds of fresh strawberries and makes jam and puts it in jars on every table. When a homeless person comes in and only has a few coins, whatever they have, she gives them toast, and they can have as much free strawberry jam as they want. Because she wants them to taste fresh strawberries, and she wants them to eat healthy. Chef Monica will probably not get any Michelin stars for fine dining, but she serves whoever she can, and in so doing, gives that person abundant life. That's what Jesus came to do. Monica fulfills a vision from a poem called Famous by Naomi Shihab Nye. I want to be famous to shuffling men and women who smile while crossing streets, sticky children in grocery lines, famous as the one who smiled back. I want to be famous in the way a pulley is famous or a buttonhole. Not because it did anything spectacular, but because it never forgot what it could do. There are many people who actually do not forget what they can do. And there is a nameless teenager I'd like to tell you about who is not famous, but he is a good shepherd, who did what he could do, never forgot what he could do, and in so doing gave abundant life to a mother and daughter. This is the mother's letter to him. Dear teenage boy at the skate park, you are about 15 years old, so I don't expect you to be very mature or to want a little girl on your skate ramp for that matter. What you don't know is that my daughter has been wanting to skateboard for months. I actually had to convince her that skateboarding wasn't just for boys. So when we walked up to the skate park and saw that it was full of teenage boys who were smoking and swearing, she immediately wanted to turn around and go home. I secretly wanted to go home too, because I did not want to have to put on my mom's voice and exchange words with you. I also didn't want my daughter to feel like she had to be scared of anyone or that she wasn't entitled to the skate park just as much as you were. So when she said, "Mom, it's full of older boys," I calmly said, "So what? They don't own the skate park." So, she proceeded to go down the ramp in spite of you and your friends flying past her and grinding rails beside her. She only had two or three runs in before you approached her and said, "Hey, excuse me." I immediately prepared to deliver my, "She is allowed to use this park just as much as you guys," speech when I heard you say, "Your feet are wrong. Can I help you?" You proceeded to spend almost an hour with my daughter, showing her how to balance and steer, and she listened to you, a feat not attained by most adults. You held her hand and helped her get up when she fell down, and I even heard you tell her to stay away from the rails so that she wouldn't get hurt. I want you to know that I am proud that you are a part of my community, and I want to thank you for being kind to my daughter, even though your friends made fun of you for doing that. My daughter left with a sense of pride and with the confidence that she can do anything because of you. We can do anything if we shepherd one another. We are called to good shepherding. It is as simple as doing what you can do and not forgetting you can do it. And in doing the good you can do, give abundant life to others. That is what Jesus uses us to do. We are called to be a gate, to use a voice that others can trust. Jesus calls us to shepherd his flock, to speak in a voice his own can recognize as coming from him. Do you speak with his voice? Can others hear his familiar voice in yours? As I was leaving church yesterday evening, a little bus drove up. A bunch of teenagers came out dressed for the prom. They wandered up to the chapel. There were some parents with cameras. They were lined up next to the chapel. Pictures were being taken. Then they lined up on the stairs for more pictures to be taken. And I walked up to this group of teenagers I had never met before, never knew where they came from, probably won't see them again. And I said to them, "You are welcome."